is make sure that every family gets a copy of this first, every family. And then what we can do is just put the extras on the Welcome Center, and you can help yourself on your way out tonight. So make sure every family gets a copy of this. We're going to do a Bible study together tonight in preparation for our revival meeting coming up. I'm jumping outside of my Bible story, my Bible book studies. I'm typically preaching through Genesis or preaching through Matthew. I'm taking a break from that tonight. I felt the Lord leading me to these particular thoughts in preparation for this week of revival coming up. We're going to look at several verses tonight. I hope you don't mind flipping in the Word of God to several places. I do want to tell you that if you're sitting beside somebody that doesn't have a Bible, whatever the case may be, share yours with them. I want you to see these verses. I want you to see these. I've entitled this out of Psalm 85, verse number 6, "Wilt thou not revive us again? Wilt thou not revive us again?" That's found in Psalm 85, verse number 6. I want you to find your place in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25. We're going to be flipping to a lot of scripture tonight in preparation for our revival coming up with Dr. Tom Farrell. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy and grace. I pray that you'll bless these thoughts tonight. Speak to us and challenge us from your word. Help us to be faithful to you and trust you with everything we have. Remove all hindrances. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. And I pray tonight that you take full control. These are the thoughts that you've laid on my heart for this dear church, these dear people. And I pray as we study these things together that you'll speak to us. And I pray tonight that you help me not to say one thing that's displeasing to you. Help me to say everything you want me to say, nothing that you would not have me to say, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, with a week of revival just ahead, I felt the Lord leading me away from our book studies to dwell on how we here at this church can get the most out of a revival meeting. And let me say this to you as well. These thoughts can apply to any church meeting, whether it be a revival meeting, whether it be a Sunday meeting, whether it be a Wednesday night meeting, any kind of special meeting. But since we're right on the verge of a revival meeting, I'm applying this to the revival. In other words, here are some thoughts of how you can get the most out of this revival meeting. Now, it's time that we all see our need of revival. And what I mean by that is this. We all stand in need of Holy Ghost revival. You know, it's time that we stop looking elsewhere and say, they need revival, they need revival, America needs revival. That's all true. And I know that I know America needs revival. I know that they need revival. But friends, we need revival. I need revival. You need revival. By the way, let me remind you that revival is for God's children. If you're not saved, you don't need revival, you need vival, you understand? Vival means life. And what it means is this, we who are God's children need to have life again. What that means is we need to be energized. We need to be turning back to God. Now this being the case, it's my desire, and I'll be honest with you friends, if I get something out of this meeting, it's worth it. If you get something out of it, it's worth it. And this being the case, I want to give you these thoughts about how to prepare for revival. How can you make sure that you can get the best and the most out of these meetings? By the way, you ought to come this way as well. Apply these four things in your life, whether there's an evangelist coming or not. But this specifically applies to a week of revival meetings. Now, look at this. The following is given to help you get the most out of this coming revival and any other local church meeting. Now, this is deep tonight, friends. This is deep thoughts. This is deep teaching. I don't know if you're going to understand it or not. Number one, attend. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? What am I saying to you? Determine that if at all possible, now I realize that people work, I realize that people get sick, I realize that some people may be going out of town, I understand all of that. I'm not saying, folks, listen, get fired for it, I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying this, if at all possible, you should be here during this revival. If at all possible. I'm telling you that one way to get the most out of a meeting is to be in the meeting. How are you going to get something out of it if you're not here, if you're not here in it, you see? And here's what I'm saying. Determine you will be here every time the door is open. Friends, it is hard to receive a blessing from the messages if you're not here to listen to them. Now, by the way, the night you miss could be the night that the Lord was going to speak to your heart. And this being the case, if at all possible, you attend, you be here. By the way, why should you attend the local church every time the doors open? Now, I'm so-called speaking to the choir tonight because this is a Wednesday night. It's the middle of the week, and this is the cream of the crop, so to speak. In other words, not everybody's going to come to church on Wednesday night. There are a lot of what's called Sunday morning only Christians. Now, this being the case, I want to give you some thoughts here, quickly here, as quickly as I can. It may not be quickly, but as quickly as I can, if you will, about why you ought to decide, and every time the door is open, that you're going to be in the local church. Now, if that's this local church, if that's the church that God, if this is the church that God has led you to, or if He leads you here, then this would apply to coming to this church. But what I'm talking about is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, local New Testament Baptist church. This being the case, why should you be in the local church that's teaching and preaching the Word of God every time the doors open? Why should you? Number one, let's look at these now. First of all, God commands it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Now, we're going to be flipping to several scriptures, so I hope your fingers are limber here tonight, okay? Look at this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you realize that faithfulness in gathering, in God's children gathering together, which is the local church, do you realize that faithfulness to gather together is commanded by God in that verse? It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why should you be here every time the doors open? Because God commands it. Number two, you, now when I say you, I'm talking about us, we need it to mature. Now, flip over to the book of Ephesians just a moment. The book of Ephesians chapter number 4. Now I'm turning with you here. So Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 11. By the way, if I'm going too fast for you, or if you don't know exactly where all the books of the Bible are, all these kind of, don't worry about that. Just listen closely, okay? Ephesians chapter 4 verses 11 and 12. Here's what the Bible says. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, in context, He's talking about the local church. And to the local church, God has given gifts. He has given them the gift of evangelists. Obviously, apostles and prophets, they're no longer basically in office today, but evangelists, we've got one coming to be with us. Pastors, you're looking at one, and teachers and all these kind of things. Here's what He says. He has given these people to the church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. You know what that word perfecting means? I've said this before, but that word perfecting carries the idea of mending the nets. In other words, just like in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, when they would go out and fish with nets, their nets would have stuff get entwined in it, their nets would be cut, and they would have to bring their nets to shore and repair their nets so they could go right back out and fish some more. That's what that word perfecting means. He has given these love gifts to the local church for the perfecting of the saints, for the mending of the saints, so the saints can be all that God wants them to be. Notice this, for the work of the ministry. Who does the work of the ministry? The saints. In other words, He gives these love gifts to the local church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what I'm saying to you here is a reason to be in church every time the doors open is you'll be amazed, friends, when a man of God is right with God, as I know the dear man of God's going to be that we're going to have in this pulpit this week. I'm telling you, there's no question in my mind his heart is going to be right with God. You'll be amazed how he'll turn to passages that you thought that you knew everything about that passage until he preaches on it. And you'll be like, was that in there? Have y'all, that's ever happened to you? Would you raise your hand? Let me tell you where you get stuff like that. The local church. What I'm saying to you is God has given the love gifts to the local church. He's given the evangelists to the local church. He's given pastors and teachers to the local church. He's called them to that ministry and he shows them things. Not that he's not going to show you, because he's going to open the floodgates in your own private devotional life as well. But friends, listen to me. Would you rather eat one time a day or two or three times a day? Amen. And when you come to the local church, you know what you're doing? You're eating again. Now, you ought to be eating in your private life. You ought to be eating there. But if that's all you're relying on, you are missing a lot of what God has to offer you. The local church is for our perfecting. Number three, to encourage God's man. Flip over to 3 John verses 3 and 4. 3 John verses 3 and 4. Not the Gospel of John, but the little book, 3 John, almost towards the end of the Bible, 3 John verses 3 and 4. Now here's what John said. Now John was a man of God. John loved the Lord, and friends, he was truly a man of God. But here's what he said, verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly. He did. When the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let me tell you one way. Now, friends, this may sound selfish. And if it does, I'm sorry, okay? But one way you can encourage your pastor, if you have a desire to do that, one way you can encourage this, I'm not much of one, but this man of God, I'm not much of one, friends. But that is what I am in this local church. I at least I'm supposed to be a man of God. And I'm going to tell you one way to encourage the man of God is be here every time the doors open. It encourages his heart. You may tell you what encourages your Sunday school teacher's heart? When he looks out and sees his class sitting here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and during the revival meeting. Number four, it gives the right representation of God. Why should you come to church every time the doors open? When you possibly can? Now again, I'm emphasizing when you possibly can. In other words, you're just not going to lay out. You understand where I'm going with this, okay? Why should you come here instead of staying at home and flipping through the television? That's where I'm going with this, because it gives the right representation of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20. The Bible says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now in context, talking about giving the message of reconciliation. But the Bible clearly identifies God's children as God's ambassador. Now, an ambassador is a representative of another. It's a representative of a sovereign. In other words, America has ambassadors in foreign countries who represent our government. They represent us as Americans. And may I say to you that we who are God's children in this world, we are God's ambassadors. That means we are not from here, we are from there, and we represent God. Question. Do you think Jesus Christ, who if you're saved, you represent him, so do I. Do you think Jesus Christ would be in the local church every time the door is open? Yes or no? Do you see him sitting at home popping potato chips and watching a ball game when Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, or special revival meetings are going on? Do you see Jesus doing that? No. Then neither should his children. Because we represent him. Number five, to train your children right. We see this in Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 6. Proverbs 22 and verse number 6. This is the verse that says this. Proverbs 22, 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Now that does not mean that he will not kick the traces. That does not mean that if you raise your kid right, it's 100% guarantee that they're going to be godly, period. That's not what that verse is teaching. What that verse is teaching is this: if you train him the way he should go, he will never get away from that. He will never be able to turn a deaf ear to that. He will never be able to get away from that. The Holy Spirit will constantly remind him, you know better. You know better. Let me ask you a question. If you have children still in the home, do you want your children to be faithful to God's house when they are grown and gone? Amen or not, friends? Then you be faithful yourself. I'm telling you that, listen, if we are sporadic in church attendance, don't be surprised if your children want nothing to do with it. Train children in the right way. Letter F, you have influence on others. We see this. You don't need to turn to it. Psalm 78, 1 through 7 talks about how the previous generation had influence on that one, and that one had influence on the other one. All I'm saying to you is this. Listen to me, everybody has influence. Everybody has influence. And I want my influence to be godly influence. And I want to influence those who I influence to be faithful to the local church. Letter G, it affects other areas of your life. You don't need to turn to this either, but this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Here's the point I'm trying to say, okay? Now, right here where I'm saying it affects other areas of your life, I have yet, I'm not saying it's impossible, and I'm not saying this is a guaranteed fact. I'm saying me personally, okay? I have yet to meet a strong soul winner who's not faithful to church. I have yet to run into somebody who is a sporadic Christian who is on fire for God. It's like oil and water, it doesn't mix. Let me tell you something, when you're on fire with God and you're really going God's way, you want to be in the local church. And I'm telling you, this is what I mean by it affects other areas of your life. If somebody starts slipping out of church, watch out. Watch out. And I can almost guarantee you that other areas of their life will also be affected with that decision. Let me give you another reason. You expect it out of others. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. This is a Bible study. I think. Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. Hey, I'm just trying to prepare us now, friends. How can we get the most out of this revival meeting? Well, number one, you got to be here. Attend it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 3. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. Let me ask you a question. Do you expect me to be here for every meeting of the revival? That's a crazy question, isn't it? Do you expect the staff to be here? I know what somebody's saying. You all get paid for it. Okay, question. You expect the deacons to be here? I do. Deacons. Amen. You expect the bus captains to be here, Sunday school teachers to be here? Amen or not, friends? You should. But only if you're going to be faithful yourself. Why should you be here every time the door's open? Because you expect it out of others. And we don't want to be hypocritical. Amen, friends. Let me give you another reason. Others are watching you. This kind of goes along with you have influence, so we'll just kind of skip over that one, but others are watching you. Letter J, it's a good thing. Let me ask you a question. Is it good to attend church? I'm talking about the right kind of church now. Is that a good thing? Sure it is. Okay, here's what James 4:17 says. Here's what it says. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's enough for me right there, friends. Really. Let me tell you why you ought to be here every time a door's open. Because it's a good thing. It's pleasing to God. And if you know it's good and pleasing to God and you don't do it, when you could do it now, I'm emphasizing that over and over, when you can, if you choose not to, that is sin. Letter K, to put God first. Colossians 1:18 and Matthew 6:33 talks about seeking first the kingdom of God. Letter L is to show you truly love God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I'll just show you a couple of these. Look at John chapter number 14. John chapter 14. Is attending church, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, is that a command of God? Yes or no? Yes. God's commanded that. Okay? So John 14, verse number 15, here's what Jesus said. If ye love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. It's the same thing in verse 23 and the same thing in 1 John 5:3. In other words, Jesus said this, don't just tell me you love me, show me. And he's saying the way you show me is that you obey what I tell you to do. Now, if coming to church is commanded in Scripture, Hebrews 10:25, it clearly is. Then if we don't come when we could come, you know what you're telling God? I don't love you enough. Now that's strong, but that's what he said. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The one that loves me, he it is that obeyeth my word. What else is he saying here? Last thing, the local church is the pillar and ground of the truth. This is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That's why I emphasize to you that make sure the local church you attend is giving the truth. Just because it's a church doesn't mean it's a church. Amen, friends. It's got to be teaching and preaching the right things. So number one, how can you get the most out of this meeting? Attend. Number two, invite. Invite. Now the Word of God makes it very plain that it is God's will for all of His children to share the gospel with others. He's made that very plain. Matthew 28, 18 to 20 teaches this. Mark chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. That's the story of the maniac of Gadara. Whenever the maniac wanted to go with Jesus, once the townspeople kicked him out of town, but Jesus said, no, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things God hath done for you and hath had mercy on you. Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Acts 1, 8, the Bible talks about receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will be witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. Would you agree with me that it's God's will for God's children to tell others about Christ? Yes or no? Can I give you one of the easiest ways you can do that? Invite them to revival meetings. By the way, remember you have influence. There's somebody in this life who could be lost, who may listen to you, who would never listen to Tom Farrell if I took him by the door and knocked on their door. They may not let us in the house. But they will listen to you because they've worked with you and you've established a testimony with them. And you say, I'm going, would you please just be my friend? Would you come and be with me? Hey, they might shock you and come. Let this dear man of God preach the word of God to them and beg God to speak to them. Wouldn't it be great to see some of your friends saved during this meeting? Wouldn't it be great to see some family members walk the aisle during this meeting? You may tell you how it's going to happen? Invite. 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 How are they going to come if they don't know the meeting's going on? So invite people to come be with you. Number three, pray. Put an asterisk beside that. Put an asterisk beside it. Because may I say this to you? If you're here every service, you're here every time the door's open, and if you've invited people to come with you and they have come, if you have neglected number three, listen to me, friends, you are hindering what the Lord wants to do. Pray. Revival can happen. May I say this to you? I would love to see Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church break out in revival. I would, listen, I don't know what I'd do if it happened. I don't know what I'd do. But let me encourage you with something. If Buffalo Ridge doesn't have it, you can. And I can. I can have a personal revival if nobody else does. But I'll guarantee you one thing. If I don't pray and ask God for it, I won't have it. Revival can happen. It is possible to see a mighty moving of God in our midst. Wouldn't you love to see Him move? I mean, just full force, whatever He wants to do. Wouldn't you love to see a moving of God like that, friends? It can happen. But it will not come without God's people praying. It's not going to come. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Robert Murray McShane said this, a man is what he is on his knees and no more. That's a powerful statement right there. A man is what he is on his knees and no more. By the way, I've given you five thoughts here about some ways to pray. Powerful praying. Powerful praying involves and includes, it may not include just these things, but it will include at least these things. You with me what I just said? This may not be an exhaustive list, but it's a pretty good start. If you want to pray God's way, it will include, number one, confession. It will include confession. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I want you to turn to these verses because I want you to see them. I want you to see that I'm not just pulling these out of thin air. I want you to see these yourself. 1 John 1:9. The Bible written to Christians now. The book of 1 John is written to God's children. Here's what he says. If we, God's children, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 32, verse number 5. If you want to turn with me, you can, but you don't have to. Psalm 32 and verse number 5. Here's what that verse says. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. In other words, the psalmist is saying, I've acknowledged my sin. I'm not trying to cover it up. I'm bringing it out in the open. I'm confessing it to you, and you will cleanse me. By the way, a great way to find out if you have unconfessed sin in your life is get as close to the light as you possibly can. God is the light. And what I mean by that is this. When you fall into the mud in a dark valley, you may not be able to tell how dirty you are. But when you start moving towards the light, and it gets brighter and brighter, it's now showing you how much dirt is on you. I'm begging you, and listen, I'm begging myself, this week get as close to God as you possibly can. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. And I'll tell you one thing it does. He spotlights that is not right. That is wrong. This is not right. The closer you get to Him, you see how much dirt we have in our lives. May I say this to you? Nobody's completely clean tonight. If you think you are, you've got a pride problem. Nobody is as close as they possibly could be to God. I can get closer. I would dare say you can get closer. If you want to pray God's way, it involves confession. Would you, listen, I thank God for every person who comes to the altar during revival to get things right. I thank God for all of that. I really do. I praise God for it. But wouldn't it be great when the evangelist comes that all of our hearts are already right? and we're ready to hear what God has to say. Confession. Number two, true Bible prayers, I'm talking about powerful praying, involves humiliation. We see this in Psalm 9 and verse number 12. Psalm 9, verse number 12, the Bible says this. It says, when he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them, he forgetteth not the cry of the humble. The Bible also teaches this in the book of James, chapter number 4. James chapter number 4 and verses 6 and 10, here's what those verses say. It says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble, verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. True, powerful Bible praying involves confession. When God says that's not right, you don't try to cover it up. You get rid of it. You confess it. And you are humble before God. It involves confession. It involves humiliation. Number three, it involves separation. Here's what I mean. In Psalm 66 and verse number 18. Psalm 66 and verse number 18. Here's what this verse says. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Here's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about separation. By the way, turn over with me just a moment to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You'll need to write this text in because I did not include this in my type notes here. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 7 and verse number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse number 1. Here's what that verse says. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Here's what I mean by the word separation. If you're really going to pray God's way and you really want to get a prayer through and you really want God to speak to you and you really want to do what God wants you to do, then whatever God tells you to get away from, you will get away from it. Because the Bible says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means if there's iniquity there and I regard it, that means I'm aware of it, I know it's there. And I just leave it alone. I don't separate from it. I don't get it out of my life. I don't confess it and forsake it. I regard it there. I just pet it while it's there. God said, don't pray, I'm not listening. Separation. Number four, it involves adoration. This is adoration of the Lord. In Psalm 95 and verse number 6. I'll just give a couple of these here and we'll move on. Psalm 95 and verse number 6. Just talking about adoration. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 99 and verse number 9 gives this same thought here. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. These verses that I've given you here is just showing that, as we pray, specifically in Nehemiah chapter 9, Nehemiah chapter 9, that reference I've given you there, is the longest recorded prayer in the Bible. That is people praying. And as they're praying, they are remembering God, his goodness, his name, his mercy, his grace in their lives. Let me tell you a great way to pray. Just praising God for who he is. Just saying thank you for what you've done in my life. See, powerful prayer involves confession, involves humiliation, involves separation, involves adoration. And number five, here's a big one. It involves expectation. We see this in Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter 21, where the Word of God says this. Matthew 21 and verse number 22. The Bible says, in all things, this is Jesus speaking, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now we see this also in John chapter number 14. John chapter 14 and verse number 13 says this, Jesus speaking, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. By the way, that doesn't mean including your prayers in Jesus' name. Now, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We do that. But that's not what he's teaching here, is just pray whatever you want to and then just say in Jesus' name and I'll give it to you. That's not what he's saying. What he means in Jesus' name is according to his will. In other words, it's something that Jesus would pray for. It's in the name of Jesus. Jesus himself would pray for this. You understand what I just said to you? That's what that means. Now look at this. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Question. Is it God's will for God to speak to your heart during this meeting? Then ask Him to and believe Him for it, because you're asking in the name of Jesus for that. Is it God's will for your life to be completely right with Him? Then ask Him, God, please show me where I'm wrong. Please, shine the spotlight of Scripture on any blotch in my life, on any dirty spot in my life. Please show me where it is, and I will confess it and beg you to help me to forsake it. Do you think He's going to answer a prayer like that, friends? Absolutely. Absolutely. Powerful praying involves expectation. Believe that God will answer your prayers if you're praying for something that Jesus would pray for Himself. Okay? Then, number four, how to get the most out of a meeting, specifically the revival meeting, but this involves all meetings at the local church. Attend, invite, pray. Number four, yield. Yield or submit, whichever word you like better there. Here's what I'm saying here. In order to get the most out of a local church meeting, decide now to do, right here it says to whatever, it's supposed to say to do whatever God tells you to do. In other words, submit to the Lord's authority in your life. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to live in victory over the tempter? You want to live in victory over the devil? If you don't, you've got mental problems, right? You want to live in victory over the devil? Well, the Bible tells us, now listen to me please, the Bible tells us how to do this. Have you ever heard that verse, resist the devil and he'll flee from you? Well, people forget the first part of the verse. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. In James chapter 1, verse number 22, the Bible says, but be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, here's what it says. Right there it is. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. We're just about done here. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46 teaches this. Luke 6:46 says this, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 11:28, he's bringing out basically the same thought here, but in chapter 11, verse 28, it says, but he said, Jesus speaking, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Here's what I'm saying. Under this part, yield, submit. I've got this written down in my own handwriting. Determine now to say yes to God's will. Why? Now listen to this question. Why would you expect God to speak to you if you're not willing to respond? You may tell you why a lot of people don't pray for God to speak to them? Because they're afraid of what He might say. Can I challenge us with something? Let's take the mask off. And let's say, God, whatever, whenever, wherever, whoever, you tell me, and my answer is already yes. You want to get the most out of this meeting? Attend it. Invite others to it. Pray throughout it. And yield to whatever God tells you in it. Simple thoughts tonight, I know that. But I believe it's the duty of a pastor to try to prepare the church as much as possible for the coming evangelist. And if our church will do these things, we could have one of the greatest meetings this church has ever seen. May the Lord add His blessing to it. Amen. Please take this home with you. This isn't just good for revivals, friends. This is good for daily living. And this is good for any meeting of the church. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You. Thank You for this service. Help us to put these principles in practice. Help us all who can possibly be here to be here. Help us, Lord God, to invite others, and may they come. Help us to be praying throughout for ourselves and for the evangelist and for the church that will progress. And help us, Lord, to have a submissive and yielding heart and spirit. I want to say whatever You tell me, I want my answer to be yes. Help us, I pray. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. I never want to let a service go by and not give people an opportunity to respond to the gospel. I don't know your heart. I don't know if you're saved or not. I don't know if there's ever been a time in your life where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone. But I know this, if you've come into this church service and you do not have 100% surety that heaven's your home, hey, I wouldn't go out of this place without making sure of it tonight. If you do not know that heaven's your home, come, let us take a Bible and share with you, not to how to be a member of this church, that has nothing to do with it, but yet how to be saved, how to know the Lord as your Savior. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. Amen. Amen. Every night, say, Jody. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. Can you help me here? God bless you. God bless you. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I want God. Now, I realize that some of you are probably not going to be here. I understand some of you are probably going to be traveling. Some of you are going to be working. I understand all that. But even if you're traveling or working, I would encourage you to get the series later and listen to it. So let me ask it this way. If you decide right now, if you say, I'm planning to be here, or if, even if in your heart you're saying, Jody, I don't think I'm going to be able to come because of work, or I'm out of town, or whatever the case may be. Now, if you're planning a sickness, I don't think that's an excuse right now, okay? But if you know that you cannot be here, but you're planning at some time to listen to the messages, how many tonight say, Jody, I really would like for God to speak to me. I'm not playing games. I mean, I want God to speak to my heart. I want that. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to close my eyes as I ask this. I'm not going to be looking. I don't want anybody looking. This is between you and God. But as I ask this, and I ask you in just a moment, not yet, but it'll be obvious, when I ask you in just a moment to raise a hand, not now, but in a moment, it'll just be between you and God. And I think it'd be appropriate for us to end with folks gathering around the altar begging God for a mighty move. Have you tonight say, Jody, my eyes are closed, your eyes are closed. Say, Jody, I really want God to speak to me. I want Him to visit with me. I want Him to do business with me. Would you raise your hand with mine in the air right now? That's just between you and God. Nobody else is looking, at least they shouldn't be. You can put your hands down. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you specifically, I'd like to ask you to come. If you can kneel, kneel. If you can't, just come have a seat on the front pew, or have a seat right there, right there at your own pew. Make that an altar. And let's end this meeting tonight with praying for God to move among us in a mighty way. Father, take the thought and use it in a great way, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God is speaking to you, come now. Make an altar out of your seat. If you want to come to this altar, whatever the case may be, let's prepare for revival.
Revival.
Let's prepare for these special meetings. Asking God to meet with us in a mighty way.
Send a revival. Start the work in me. Thy word declares Thou wilt supply our need.
I hope you're praying, friends. I hope you're praying.
For blessing now, O Lord, I humbly plead.
Playing through softly. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. You know the great thing about the Lord? Is He wants to speak to you more than you and I want Him to speak to us. And the great thing about it is if nobody else wants it, and you do, He'll speak to you. I want Him to speak to me. I do, I want Him to. Hey, I'm not afraid of that. Because I know He loves me and He wants the best for me. And listen, He's not going to tell me something's going to hurt me. He's only going to give me things that's going to help me. You know that to be true, don't you? I'm telling you, I feel a special urge here. I feel the church is preparing. And may the Lord add His blessing to it. And I want to challenge you. Easter weekend. What a great opportunity to get lost people under the sound of the gospel. Easter Sunday is one of those Sundays where friends, folks that you didn't even know were still alive will show up in church. Take advantage of that. Have y'all ever heard Dr. Tom Farrell preach? Would you raise your hand? Do you think he's going to give the gospel straight Sunday morning, yes or no? I got a slight suspicion he is. Wouldn't you love to see some lost people in the building responding, trusting Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Let's work. Let's get people here. May the Lord help us with this, okay? Amen. May the Lord help us with it. Our Father, we love You tonight, and we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. And I pray that You help us at this church to truly prepare for revival. Bless Dr. Tom Farrell. Keep him healthy. Bring him to us safely. Use his messages in a mighty way. And I pray, Lord, that You'll bless those in the congregation who are hurting. We think especially right now of Miss Sandy Cox as she's getting ready to find out from this biopsy. I pray that it'll be good news. We pray for the will of God to be done and for peace and grace no matter what it is. Help them, I pray, in a special way. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you leave, please don't just go out the back door. Shake people's hands. Be friendly, be kind, especially if somebody you don't recognize tonight. God bless you. Thank you.